From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
September 9th, 2021. It is the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, year number 11. It's Gil Alexander. We're doing this from Circa. Usually we do it from the D.
The well-designed studio.
The well-designed studio where I have to dodge you to see Mikey on the other side. Mike Palm, Derek Stevens consigliere, Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports, and co-hosts of The Nuts, soon to be another name?
Soon to be another name.
Do we have a name that you'd like to reveal?
I can't reveal it because, you know, they're so excited here on this new fall lineup, but we can't announce anything till Monday.
Okay.
It's called Bland Radio for an hour.
Todd Wishnev's first shot across the bow.
And the season is underway.
We're underway. Star of Showtime's docuseries Action. Mikey took that a little personally.
I love Mikey.
We always have a rotating guest on the Megapod. For those who are unfamiliar with this format, it's always Mikey, Todd, and I, and then a rotating guest. Brady Cannon has been the leadoff guest on the Megapod for maybe all of those years, maybe a couple years shy, but typically the leadoff man. And you're kind enough to do it again. Brady Cannon, co-host of the greatest golf betting show there ever was, Long Shots, and of course, oh, by the way, past Super Contest champion.
Ring on today.
Oh, look at that. Let me see that. Oh, wow. Very. How often do you wear that?
Very rarely, but I figured today was an appropriate time to do so.
Very nice. 2011 is when you won the Super Contest?
2011.
With your
10-year anniversary.
And you're still playing the Super Contest?
Yes.
Are you playing Gold, too?
No, I'm playing the Super Contest and Circa Million.
Okay. No Survivor for you.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we have to do a Survivor pick, too, if you want to.
That's fine.
Okay. So here's the format. Todd, you'll correct me. Todd is also court stenographer here on the show. So here's how this works. Mikey will give us a Circa Millions and Circa Survivor update. Then we will get into Thursday night thoughts, if there are any. Doesn't have to be, but if there is, how you're playing Thursday night football. Then it's three best bets. Then, of course, your Survivor pick, your favorite teaser of the week, and the final two questions of every show. What's the big favorite you think is the most likely to lose outright, and what game do you want no part of against the side, on the side? I guess that's – I think I got that right, Todd? Is that the whole thing?
Yes, there'll probably be a song relating to a Southern football team as well.
That's coming too. All right, Mikey, update, if you would.
Yeah, I'm giving you an up-to-the-second update. We had a big day yesterday, Gil. We did 421 survivors. I mean,
wow.
we're going to be short. I mean, we're not getting to 6,000.
What are you at now?
As we speak this moment, we're at 3165, still 2835 short. And remember, Saturday, we're not going to be able to get a lot in. It cuts off at 2. Plus, all the proxies are going to be putting their picks in for week one, right?
Yeah.
So if you're coming to wait until Saturday, you're in trouble. So
the theory about the New England Tampa Bay losing and all that stuff?
I think it's valid. I think it's valid that there will be people that are here in town right now that will use Tampa Bay tonight. And if they should happen to lose, we'll get more entries.
But if they win, will you get less entries?
Yeah, I think we need the Cowboys to pull the upset to get a spike.
So
for
you
more
don't,
reasons
so you
than one.
Yeah. So you don't regret that at all because of that, having the deadline for Survivor after Thursday night is played.
There's been some people that said this game shouldn't be a part of it. They've complained because now they're back in Southern California and they don't have the advantage of being able to do that.
That's right.
I think it works out to give us a little injection here if it should happen.
Who could that be? Who could that be? And then millions, you're closer to the number?
Yeah, we'll get there with the millions. We're at 34 and change with the millions. So I think we'll go over the 4,000. I think both contests end up around 4,500, Gil, with the late push.
Wow. Overlay.
Yeah.
And again, with Circa Survivor, the two quirks this year, more than the one quirk last year, there is not only Thanksgiving as its own week where there are three games and you have to strategically keep as many of those teams as possible. Please. Yes.
Sure. Here are the three games on Thanksgiving. You must have one of these six teams available or you're already out. Bears at the Lions, a snooze fest, Raiders at the Cowboys, and the Bills at the Saints. That's the Thanksgiving lineup. Then you also have to have teams available for the three games that are going to happen on Christmas between Thursday and Saturday, which are the Niners at the Titans, Browns at Packers, and Colts at Cards. Good luck. No one's going to win Survivor. What happens if nobody makes it?
Well, who's ever left that last week?
I was kidding.
And then there's the extra bonus, which I think will distract people, which is if you have the Chiefs or the Bucks saved for Week 18, not only would you win the $6 million, you'd win an additional million.
You get an additional million on top for the people that used either of those two teams. I was on with Mitch and Paul this morning. Mitch is trying to figure out a strategy to use the Bucks at home and win Week 18 against Carolina.
You mean when he's out in Week 4?
Well.
Wow. Just kidding. Wow. I'm going to be out before anybody. It was a joke.
All right, look, we're on a limited time today because we thought we were going to be the D, which will be our home moving forward. But we're at the lovely, and I do mean lovely, Circus Studios. But the Nuts is going to start in just over an hour, so we want to get right to it. Any Thursday night, Brady, we'll start with you here. Buccaneers are 8-point favorites, some 8.5s, but it's typically 8 right now as we do this Thursday morning. 8-point favorites hosting the Cowboys. Did you play this in any way?
I did not play this game. Certainly, it lends itself to a teaser play. That's pretty obvious. You can tease down the 8 to 1.5 or what have you.
Well, it's now 9, 9.5, unfortunately.
It's gone to 9? Gil just said 8 or 8.5.
Well, Gil, you got to check it. Look.
Here he goes again.
Is it 9, 9.5?
Take a look. You're not going to believe it.
Well, consensus, really?
And I tell you
teaser
what.
Teaser protection now, finally?
And I tell you what, I mean, this starts to get into the territory where it's a play on Dallas. Because now this line is approaching a move of 3 points. And that's just a golden rule of NFL football. If one line moves 3 points one way, you go the other side. And this was 6.5 when it opened up in the summer. I immediately liked Dallas. I thought the line should be 3.5 or 4.5. Now, you know, there's been speculation about Prescott's health. The offensive line has some injuries. We're still not sure about the Dallas defense, but if this gets to 9, 9.5, even double digits, I still may stay away from the game, but absolutely Dallas would be the play.
Wow. I'm glad I teased it because I teased it with the Rams. I teased the Bucks with the Niners. I know that's not a Stanford Wong teaser leg, but I did. And I teased it with the Bills. Same story. Like, and I had no compunction doing it for any of them. Mikey, anything?
I played this in real life. And I parlayed the money line with Sabalenka in the semifinals.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think she's now the clear favorite to win this. She got through what probably would be her toughest match, getting through your pick, you know, Krejcikova, who I think still lingering health issues were a factor there. But
it ever happened
right?
to her.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I used it in a money line parlay with another sporting event today.
I think Sabalenka should roll Leila Fernandez, as great of a story as she has been.
The two-teamer, it's 420 and 320 I laid, and so effectively it's minus 160.
Nice. Dodd?
I have no opinion. I certainly would not bet the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's just way too much hype. I mean, Tom Brady and the boys, they're all together. Everyone's coming back. They have 15 returning starters on offense, even though there's only 11 positions. They're so excited about everybody. Oh, Tampa, Tom's all ready to go. Too much hype, folks. Do not lay 9, 9.5. You will be crying. Of course, they'll come out and win 41-7.
Well, I was going to say, is it a contest pick for you? Is it a Survivor pick? Anything? No?
I don't. I may play Tampa in the Survivor. It's definitely a possibility. I haven't decided 100% yet.
All right. Let's do best bets. Three per person. We'll do it snake, Todd, so you don't get last.
Yes, last year and the year before, I got screwed because I always have to talk last and my pick last.
But you're allowed to make the same picks as other people.
I understand, but I think it should be equitable. We should be an equitable show.
You just want the stage to talk about a game first.
Look, you don't always save the best for last. Go ahead.
All right, Brady. What's your first pick here?
My first pick is the New England Patriots, and you will currently see them at -3. I was actually able to get them at -2.5, and I really think this team is poised for a rebound. The only possible regression points that I see are the fact that they were +3 in turnover differential this year, or last year rather. And this year in the schedule, they have a very disadvantageous angle as far as a rest perspective. They're on a lot of short weeks. They're playing teams that are in good positions. So the schedule doesn't set up great for them. Although it's relatively easy as far as competition, the rest angle is not great for New England. Otherwise, I think this team bounces back in a big way. You know, they only threw 12 touchdown passes last year and still won 7 games. They had the largest COVID injury opt-out and players departing over the course of the entire league, and just about all of those players return. A lot of those players come back from Miami, their opponent this week. I think the offensive line is improved and will be excellent. I think the defensive side of the ball will be improved and very good. I think their running game showed to be really powerful in the preseason. And at the bottom line, it's Bill Belichick coming off of a 7-win season. I know he didn't come back this season because he thinks they're going to be lousy again. I think he has high hopes for this season, and I think he really takes it out on this Miami team. I think there's a number of signs that point to New England really having a positive return to the mean this year off of what they did last year. So I think they get it started with a big victory here over the division rival Dolphins.
I'm with you. I'm going to jump in here because I, too, am on the New England Patriots. I made a bet on them at -2.5, but even at -3, I like them. And on a week, in a week one, where honestly when we went through on a numbers game the other day, game by game, to figure out through the prism of our contest, like, how are we going to come up with 5 picks here? ATS. That was one of the few, and I do mean few, and I'll have all 3 of them here on the Megapod, where I was like, I feel really good about this. And it is the Bill Belichick factor, and it is the fact that Mac Jones, and I don't know, I know it's preseason, we don't want to read too much into it, but he appears to be well beyond his years right from the start. And Bill Belichick was hamstrung last year. Remember all those defensive opt-outs.
I also think it's a fade of Miami here. That team increased by wins of 5 games from 2019 to 2020, and that doesn't typically bode well for the follow-up year. This team overachieved quite a bit in 2020. They were +9 in turnover differential and still didn't make the playoffs. That's not a good combination. So I think Miami probably regresses this year, and conversely, I think the Patriots have progressive, you know, a move towards the mean. So, I mean, it's kind of going opposite directions, in my opinion, for both of these teams.
It's your number one of the three, or no particular order?
Oh, no particular order.
Yeah, I'm going to call it my number one. I'm going to call it my number one, New England Patriots as well. Mikey.
Todd, I have an inquiry as to the line and total on the Cardinals and Titans.
See, now this is the official way to do it. Instead of trying to chintz the line, Mikey's doing it the fair way. Which game would you like, Colts and Titans?
No, they don't play. I like the
Cardinals and Titans. I'm sorry. The line I have is 3 minus 05, pretty much as standard for the Titans, and the over-under is pretty much 52.
52 over. We're going to go over the 52 here.
He steals my pick again. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Really?
No, for real.
That's my favorite pick. That's my number pick.
Don't change yours, Todd.
No, don't change
yours. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it was a miracle Tennessee won 11 games with this defense last year, and I don't see it being any better. I think that Tennessee gets better on offense with the addition of Julio Jones. They become more dynamic. They still have that 18-wheeler in the backfield. And I think the Cardinals are going to start to click. I think there was something off last year between Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. I think that there was no rhythm that they ever got to their game, and they didn't fully achieve what they could have on offense. I see this game playing in the 60s. I really think the number's probably about right here. I don't know how the humidity will factor in with the Cardinals players playing in Tennessee outdoors for a dome team. So I'm going to stay away from the side, but over 52 is my top play.
Titans, who got to the postseason last year, lost to Baltimore in the divisional round, or whatever the first round is called these days. They lost 20-13. And the Titans this year, beyond this game, -115 over DraftKings to win the division. Season win total of 9. Yes, -165 to make the playoffs. No, +125. 15-1 for those who are interested to win the AFC. So you're over here?
Over 52.
Over 52. Todd, what number is that for you of your first three?
I was going to put it second.
Would you like to add anything to what Mikey said? Or just
Well, I thought I would talk about it when I get there, but I can
well,
talk about it now.
If we're doubling up, you
okay,
might as well
fine,
just
I'll
piggyback.
Talk about it now. I agree with Mikey. I think this is going to be a shootout. The Titans games, if you watched them last year, very, very often degenerated into ridiculously high-scoring games because they couldn't stop anybody, and they had, like you said, the 18-wheeler in the backfield. They could score the ball. You know, this is kind of similar to, do you remember when we had that Tampa Bay run of overs 2 years ago that I kept, you know, getting on Tennessee? We were winning like crazy with the over on the in games last year. As soon as you saw it was going to be another Tennessee game, just jump on the over and you win like crazy. So while not knowing much about these teams yet, because, you know, all the hype folks, you better take a chill pill with all the hype. Remember, you don't want to get too polluted with all this preseason talk about
totally agree.
About teams, because how many years in a row have we seen everybody get excited and then something totally different plays out? But one thing I think is maybe count-onable, if that's a word.
It is not.
The Titans are going to probably be playing overs unless they completely overhauled their team. And the other thing is Kyler Murray goes back to pass and he starts running and you can't stop the guy.
Yeah, he's a bear. I hate.
He's like a jitterbug. You cannot stop
hate
that guy.
Against him.
It's terrifying betting against him. So I'm gonna go with Mikey over 52 Titans versus Arizona. We still have a chance to win because as long as not more than three people have picked it, we could win. If three of us pick it, we know it's a loss.
It's a loss. Yes. It's guaranteed. Science. Yes. But I just want to repeat what you just said, Todd, because I think that's the single biggest thing. And we saw this in college football. All it took was 1 week of college football. We know nothing. We think we know stuff heading into a season. We absolutely know nothing. We might get some stuff right, but there's going to be some things that inevitably surprise us, which, by the way, is why you're doing the Amal Shaw before the season grid for your survivor is also a fool's errand, too. Go 3 or 4 weeks, then do that.
Well, no, I agree. It is a fool's errand, but I still wanted to do it just to kind of see what I would have done.
I agree. I don't think it's a bad practice to just set a map out from the get-go. And you don't necessarily have to adhere to it.
But you don't play Survivor, right?
I know, but I don't think that's a bad way to go.
I'm calling mine the Dan Campbell Memorial Amal Shaw Napkin Gate.
Okay.
And the reason is I'm going to try to jam Dan Campbell in as many times against as I possibly can, because I don't think that man should be a head coach.
Well, there was nothing wrong with fading the Jets last year. I did it 8 times.
Amal's theory here, and he didn't know about the Christmas rule when he did it during the breaks of one show, so you have to let him you know, go back. But he faded the Texans 11 times during the course of the season. And I think through the first 9 weeks, 8 times. I mean, it was just fade Texans, fade Texans, fade Texans.
Well, that gets to my pick.
He didn't do it week one, though, I would assume.
No, he did not.
Yeah. All right, what's your pick, Snake?
That's a perfect lead-in to, since we're going to do things equitably for a change around here, I will pick first in the second round, and I will take the Houston Texans. That's right, Mikey, plus the 3 points. I am going to go with the Houston Texans, and here's why. Houston's going to play Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Now, Tyrod Taylor's no superstar, but he is a game manager who cannot turn the ball over and hopefully get you a W. A lot of times in the NFL, it's not winning the game. It's not losing the game. And very often, it's a turnover situation that loses you the game. And now I get to go at home against a Trevor Lawrence. Give me a break. Who knows what the heck that guy is with the Jacksonville Jaguars? You know, it's not a good football team. You're asking them to go on the road and give a team 3 points. I know NFL... Houston still has NFL players. Okay, I know they lost the guy. There was a little massage issue. Okay, I understand all that. They still have national
issue.
Look, when you're doing your massage situations, you got to be careful. The point is, it still has National Football League team, and it's not like they're playing against a great team.
You're
asking Jacksonville to go on the road?
Well, and it's also that Urban Meyer thing, and I said this to you on a numbers game this morning. Like, this just reminds me, some of the stuff that Urban Meyer did in the offseason, the arrogance, has a chief of staff, for God's sakes. There's somebody who is called a chief of staff that you have to go through to get to Urban Meyer. This is very Spurrier-esque to me. That's what the old Malcolm Gladwell blink thing. I just think they could be bad in a way that we think of the Texans right now.
Yeah, you're asking them to go on the road? In the National Football League, going on the road is hard for any team.
It's actually their third straight road game. Their last two preseason games were on the road as well.
There you go.
Huh. Gil, do you think there's a chance that Urban Meyer doesn't finish the year?
Yes.
I do. Yes. I do as well.
Which would be something.
He can have more heart problems.
Well, the stress was too much in college where you're God, right? Now you have to answer to people. But the other thing is, his worst season was 8-3 his first year at Bowling Green. He won 88% of his games. I mean, he never lost at Ohio. Yeah. He's not good. What happens when he's 2-9?
Well, that's what I said. Like, he's never had to worry about an offensive line being bad. Yeah. Like, what's that? He doesn't. It can't even compute with him.
Yeah.
Lamar. I saw the prop at Westgate. Who quits first? Urban Meyer, Mike Palm from the Nuts. But bam!
I think
shot
I
number
think
two fire.
Urban's plus money there. Urban's plus money.
All right, Brady, number two for you.
I am going with the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh my! Brady and I are sharing a brain.
And the Atlanta Falcons lost a number of close games last season. That should adjust to the positive. And of course, Arthur Smith comes in as the new head coach, and I think he's really going to give a boost to that offense that struggled in the red zone. And I think Kyle Pitts gives a big boost to that offense as well. And we saw how Arthur Smith did with tight ends with Tennessee. So I think that's all a positive, but maybe the biggest coaching hire they made is Dean Pease as the defensive coordinator. This guy, all he's done is coach for New England and Baltimore, and he's been fantastic on the defensive side of the ball. Matt Ryan, by the way, 11-2 straight up and against the spread in home openers, and that second loss was last year. So I think Matt Ryan gets it together this year. And the Falcons, a lot of people, and maybe yourself as well, Gil, a lot of prognosticators out there that I respect expect good things out of the Falcons this year. And basically just a positive regression because they lost so many close games last season. I'm not completely on that boat, but I think this is a really good spot for them. And this is also a fade of Philadelphia.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts has not been good. He's won one game in his career, and it was when New Orleans was on their third straight game on the road and they were starting a backup quarterback. He also has a rookie head coach who has never called plays before. So I think that combination, a rookie play caller, if you will, with nearly a rookie quarterback. And this is really rebuild for Philadelphia. They played 14 different combinations at offensive line last season. They gave up over 65 sacks, I believe it was. Their defense was 28th in the league against the run. They just have a lot of problems, and this team needs to rebuild. And they may be good in a couple, 3 years from now, but I think right out of the gate, only laying 3 points, I'll take Atlanta.
I didn't do the actual snake because I would have gone to Mikey, I think, if I had done the actual snake. But let me just, since I'm the same as Brady here, too, I agree with that. And also, like, the premature reports of Matt Ryan's demise. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone who wants to bury him. And I'm not sure why that is. Is it because Tom Brady is so good at 43 and now 44 years old? Is it because Aaron Rodgers is so great at 37 and Matt Ryan is not quite those guys? He's still one of the top half of quarterbacks, conservatively, in the NFL. And I don't usually make much of preseason. And I know that's ridiculous to do. But if there was one preseason game that stuck in my head this year, it is the Eagles' performance against the Patriots.
Yeah, 35 zip.
You left that game and you're like, wow, this team could suck badly. And I have a feeling they might. And so the Falcons at home with Matt Ryan, he's the better quarterback. Kyle Pitts, as we both agree, and I think a lot of people do, is going to be phenomenal with Atlanta. I think Atlanta's defense, as long as they don't crap out entirely, they've got
the better coordinator now.
Yeah, they have the better coordinator. And many would say that Arthur Smith is a coach of the year candidate. By the way, when we did the thing for VSiN for the Pro Football Betting Guide with our division picks and our wild card picks, I found myself writing in the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC. So I'm on the Falcons.
Are you guys
as well.
At all concerned about the fact that Matt Ryan is akin to another very good quarterback but not great quarterback named Philip Rivers, who loves to break your heart in the big spot? It's at the 35-yard line, 3rd and 6 late in the game. You absolutely need to stay in field goal range, and he takes the sack.
Rivers was really good last year for the Colts. That may be a decrease at quarterback for them this year.
No, I agree. But I've only lost $4.5 million on Philip Rivers inside the 5-yard line. Just needs to get me across 1 yard to cover a spread. And so that's why I have a little thing in my heart for Philip Rivers that I don't like. But anyways, so you guys aren't concerned.
Well, there's always a concern for everything. But in for this slate, where it's like picking the worst of the evils, in my opinion, that's definitely a pick for me. Feel really good about both New England and Atlanta.
Did you bet Arthur Smith for Coach of the Year?
I did not. I think the Coach of the Year will go to Sean McDermott, because I think it was sort of a Stefanski versus McDermott thing last year, and it's no problem that Stefanski got it, but I think there's a bit of a, you know, the snub vote this year will come into play.
How about Sean Payton at 35-1?
If they're good.
They don't get to play at home. He loses the receiver. He loses Breeze. And I think Jameis Winston is going to have a decent year.
Yeah.
You know, the function of those interceptions is also Arian's philosophy about throwing the ball down the field. Okay, I know he had 33 intercepts, but other than that, 18 is the most he ever had in a year. So.
What about Brandon Staley with the Chargers?
I don't know. If you watch those preseason games, they looked very disorganized. Yeah. It looked like Anthony Lynn was still there if you watched those games. He made a lot of tactical mistakes in the preseason. So
yeah.
The first year being a head coach, it's a whole different ball of wax.
The guy that would pollute the coach of the year market, though, for me, the one that I would, if I had a, you know, the McDermott bet, Belichick. Because if the Patriots do anything, you know those guys are voting and girls are voting for him.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
My second pick, Gil, is going to be an under, and I'm going to take the Broncos Giants under 41.5. Now, I bet the Broncos when it was 1.5. I'm not going to give them out at 3.
I did too.
I think that's a big difference going on the road. But I think there's two things that factor here. I think the Giants are susceptible to a team that can rush the passer because Daniel Jones holds the ball, and he holds the ball, and he holds the ball, and he holds. So when they go up against teams that have a good pass rush, I think they're in trouble. And then the other thing that plays to the under is obviously Bridgewater. Bridgewater is going to dink, and he's going to dunk, and they're going to run the ball, and they're going to play. Fangio's going to try not to lose on offense.
Todd, you said that this morning, right?
Yep.
It's the John Fox School of NFL coaching. Yep. Try not to lose.
Just be competent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And win 9 games.
There you go.
So that's my play. Under 41.5 there.
All right. Todd, would you like to go first for number 3?
Sure. I'd love to go first, Gil. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to bet against a team that hails – from the same division as the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins. Now you've got the song, folks, you love. I had to shoehorn it in because I didn't have anything to say about the Dolphins except that Tua's brother is better than him.
You know, it's creepier to do that with him present because we have to endure it for,
Okay. Anyways, I'm going to go against the New York Jets, Jets. I'm going to take old Matt Rhule and the Panthers minus the 4.
You know what Kelly Bidlin said? That he had Matt Rhule say to his face when he covered Matt Rhule wherever he was, that you pronounce it Matt Rhule.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take Matt Rhule along with Jeff Parlay.
It was like the Travis Kelce thing this offseason. Yeah. He was like, no, Matt Rhule is what is it. And he doesn't. He just lets you go with
Tarod.
It.
I mean, they wait for years and they say, by the way, this is actually my name. Way.
Well, Howard Stern's producer, Gary Delabate. Delabate is his real name. But anyways, so the Carolina Panthers, I'm going to take a minus 4. Here's why. I like Matt Rhule as a coach. I think he's going to turn. I mean, he's already started to turn the franchise around. I'm not buying the BYU hype. Come on. I watched every BYU game last year. Zach Wilson had time to have a buffet, a cup of coffee, could do whatever he wants. There was all kinds of time to throw. Now, he granted, he might be great, but he hasn't proven anything to me. Now he's behind a subpar NFL team's offensive line, and now you're going to go ask him to be a superstar?
Your offensive line's supposed to be pretty good, though.
I'm not saying they're I said the subpar team.
Okay.
I didn't say their offensive line in general. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's not a really good team. The Jets are not a really good team, are they? Are the Jets a good team?
I would not say that they are
yet.
He was
talking about the offensive line. He didn't say the whole team was
but
great.
But the point is, he's the quarterback of this team. It's a brand-new situation. I just see it as too much Zach Wilson hype. Let me have the Carolina Panthers at home, minus the 4. I have a good coach here. Robert Saleh may be a great coach. We haven't seen anything about from that yet, right?
Right.
Okay, so let me get – yeah. Look, the truth is all these lines are impossible. Let's be just real about it, okay? The lines are impossible. We don't know what's going on with any of these teams yet. Bet the damn game's in-game, folks. But for the fun of the Megapod, I'm going to take Matt Rule, minus 4. Thank you.
Okay. Brady, number 3.
I am going with the Arizona Cardinals, and this kind of ties into Mike Palm's play, too, on the over. I don't know if Arizona is going to be great this year. They added some players that are up there in age, J.J. Watt, what have you. I don't know how much that is really going to help them. Your friend Ed Fang brought up a great point about Kyler Murray. This guy had bad interception luck. He threw a lot of interceptions, but he actually was above average as far as throwing bad balls. So that should change a little bit. He should throw less interceptions this year, should turn the ball over less. And if you look at the wide receivers that they've added there in Arizona, and you alluded to it as well, Mike, this team I think is very much built for an over team. Their defensive secondary I still think is still weak, and they're going up against a team in Tennessee that has gotten progressively worse defensively all 3 years under Mike Vrabel. So I think both of these teams are going to go back and forth and put up points. Very interesting. Cliff Kingsbury, in his career, when his team scores more than 25 points, he is 14-3-1 against the spread.
Hmm.
So this guy loves to get involved in a shootout, and I think that's what we're probably going to have here. So I'll take the 3 points with the Cardinals. I also think Tennessee is really set up for a regression. They were plus 11 in the turnover differential last year. Ryan Tannehill has been playing so far above his head. I mean, what did he have, 67% completions last year? Derrick Henry, is he going to rush for 2,000 yards again? They lost a lot of players. They lost Jonnu Smith at tight end. I really don't think Julio Jones at 32 years old is going to make much of a difference here. They lose Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, who made it all happen. So I'll take the Cardinals plus the points.
Cliff Kingsbury, besides the Anthony Lynn category of botching games late, Kingsbury's pretty up there on that list too, though, isn't he? Do I remember sort of anecdotally us bringing him up several times last year?
A lot of fourth down and one very questionable calls.
Right.
I remember one game in particular that hurt very badly.
Yeah. So I'm not sold on him yet. That doesn't have anything to do with your pick necessarily in week one, but just wanted to point that out. Mike, number 3.
I'm going to take the Rams. Against the Bears. I just don't see Andy Dalton doing anything with this team. And, God, they're, you know, I know it was the preseason, but they were playing second stringers on defense and couldn't stop anybody. I mean, they just went up and down the field. I think there were 9 out of 12 possessions that were in touchdowns against them at one stretch during the preseason. So I think their defense has started to regress. I think they're yes, 7.5. I'm sorry. Rams minus 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they're going to put Dalton. They're going to start Dalton here because, you know, they're going up against the Rams defense. And so they want a veteran to play against the Rams defense. But, you know, Stafford is used to the Bears. Stafford's played against the Bears all the time. He's been successful against the Bears. They don't drop that ball in week one, Swift in the end zone, they beat the Bears, right? He's had leads on the Bears where they did, you know, Detroit's famous for having a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. They run the ball in the line 3 times and trying to run out the clock. So I'm not with a mall that he makes them the favorites to win the NFC, Stafford. But I think this Bears team is not a playoff team. I don't think they're an 8-8 team, 8-9. I think this team is in for a regression this year. And I actually make this line about 9 myself.
This is a game where if it was Rams minus 7.5, let's say week 5, week 6, where you had the prospect of Justin Fields and The one Achilles heel of the Rams is that they have no depth this year. I still think they win the NFC, but it obviously requires, like it does for every team, that they stay healthy. But specifically with the Rams, they have so little depth. But in week one, where it is Andy Dalton, and the Rams don't have to worry about that, I will do the -7.5 easily as well. Like, I love that play. And it's one of those where if the Bears can beat you on that, tip of the cap. Absolutely. No problem. Andy Dalton doesn't scare me. And I've got the Rams going to the Super Bowl this year, where I believe they will be defeated by the Kansas City Chiefs. Rams right now, +190 to win the NFC West. By the way, the 49ers are shorter than them at DraftKings. 10.5 is their season win total. They're -200 are the Rams to make the playoffs. +650 right now to win the NFC. 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. I got a -7.5.
Did you bet your football team to win the NFC East?
I did.
I think you have to at the price.
I did. Well, when it was 4-1, I did.
Yeah.
4-1, wow.
But, you know, their schedule, since you bring it up, is fascinating because they have the most accumulated rest days on the opponent side. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, it's super difficult. But then at the end, they have the weirdest scheduling quirk I've ever seen in the history of NFL schedules, which is not only do they have five of their six division games in the last 5 weeks, but they have I think it's Dallas-Philly.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen before, ever. Once in a while, you'll see a team play to opponent twice in a three-week span. But there's never been a situation where you do it consecutively like that.
Dallas-Philly.
So on the other hand, even if Washington succumbs to that schedule where they have all the opponents have the most rest against any team in the NFL, in Washington being the case, even if they're down, if they're middling, let's say they're, I don't know, with 17 games, let's say they're 5-7, and you're like, oh, this team's not going anywhere. They got five division games still to go. They can still...
It's the last five, not five out of six. At Giants is the last game.
So no, five out of their six division games last 5 weeks. Sorry. So with the Giants being the last week of the season. So I think the way you play Washington is you wait, now that we have dynamic season win totals, adjusted season win totals, where you don't just have to bet this stuff pre-flop before the season starts, I think you wait for them to sort of succumb to that bad schedule, and then before that final stretch, you hit them at a really favorable number.
You get a discount because everyone's
going to
see them.
Because they're going through the ringer those first 8, 9, 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's brutal. Whereas like a team like Kansas City, or I think it was Tampa Bay, pardon me. Tampa Bay, if they can get through their first half of the season, like their schedule gets so easy.
You want me to give you the Tampa Bay schedule?
After their bye, give us the games. And which week is the bye?
The Tampa Bay Bucks have a bye at week 9, it looks like. And then they have at Washington, Giants at home, at Indianapolis, at Atlanta, Buffalo at home, New Orleans at home, at Carolina, at Jets, Carolina at home.
So Buffalo's the one real bugaboo in there. But that's so
tough ones on the road too.
At Colts could be a tough spot.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Colts?
I think they win that division.
Really?
Yes.
I agree.
Wow. That's very
I can't pick a team that Tennessee with that defense.
Yep.
It's horrible. Horrible. They've masked it because they've scored so many points, but it's god awful.
What is the team that you guys think the general market or whatever the preseason buzz is, however, because we all have shows and we suck in all this information for 3 months. What do you think the team is that most people have wrong, either to the bad or to the good this year?
Oh boy. Maybe the Tennessee Titans. You know, I've seen some people that are high on Tennessee. Maybe the Buffalo Bills. Now, Buffalo's strong for sure, but they really peaked quite a bit last year. And they could be set to slide down the mountain a little bit. Now, I think they have a great head coach. Maybe the Cleveland Browns. I talked about this with the Miami Dolphins a little earlier, where they jumped and exceeded their wins from the prior year by 5. So did Cleveland. That usually doesn't go well for that team the following season. However, Cleveland may be immune to that because I think their coach is great, and they've actually improved their team a lot on defense. I mean, they have a loaded roster. So they may be immune to that, but Tennessee is a team, and you know, Mike and I talking about the Colts to win the division. I think Tennessee is going to fall off.
Mikey?
I want to ask you this, Brady. Do you temper your future bets or tend to want to play to the negative on these two teams, the Vikings and the Ravens, whose quarterbacks will not get vaccinated? or pretend not to know anything about it and need
they're
to
doing
find
their
out.
Research, Mikey.
Hopefully there's some information out there.
I have not taken that into account.
Because you're gonna miss 10 days.
Yeah.
No, it's different. If you're vaccinated, you just need 2 negative tests to get back.
And we are. Let's just say we're not making any political statements.
No, not at all.
It's football.
The rules that the NFL have set up.
Mm-hmm. You have to know this.
Maybe another team that I think a lot of people might be too high on, and I think you and I like the Vikings to win the NFC North.
We do.
Is the Green Bay Packers?
I agree.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, hit new heights even for Aaron Rodgers type numbers last year. Look at Matt LaFleur. He's 28-8 straight up as a coach. It's like the highest winning percentage ever.
Is he the coach, though?
Good question. I think LeBron James is the coach.
I think the guy from Jeopardy is the coach, right?
They could be set to fall down the hill a little bit, too.
The team, I'll answer my own question for me, and it's not exactly because I think the Seattle Seahawks have earned some respect, certainly, over the years. But my thing with Seattle is this. Russell Wilson covers up so many warts by his Superman abilities that I think the day that he's no longer able to do that, and I don't know if it's this year, I don't know if it's next year, but whenever that day is, because, you know, Pete Carroll's all about, establish the run with Chris Carson, and that was already a big deal between Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, sort of took away his MVP candidacy last year overnight. Whenever that day comes, that team is going to fall off a cliff. And I think that's always one to watch out for.
I've seen very mixed reviews on Seattle. Some people love them. Yeah. Some people are ready to pick them for the Super Bowl, and some people think they're not going to be
very
good.
How about one from the other side? You guys are all talking about teams that might be overrated. How about a team that might be underrated? Maybe the Houston Texans are really not going to be as bad as everyone says, because everyone has them penciled in at 0-0, how many games are there this year? Like 400? 0-17, I believe most people have them.
Well, their season win total went from 5.5 to 5-4.
Okay, so everyone.
They're a 3-point dog at home to a 1-15 team with a rookie quarterback, a first time head coach, and no offensive line. Think about that. They'll never be favored in a game this year.
Right,
their power rating stays that way.
Are they really that bad? They can't be that bad.
Right, it's impossible to be that bad.
There's only a few games this season that they are a dog of less than 5 points.
Yeah. I don't think they can. Tyrod Taylor is not that bad. I believe he was in some playoff games.
He won a playoff game for Buffalo and Jacksonville.
Okay. Yeah, Jacksonville was 10-3.
Yes,
10-3. I remember the game.
I don't know if he still has this, but for a big part of his career, he had the record for the fewest turnovers of any quarterback who had taken that many snaps.
And that's what I love in an NFL. Remember, there's tons of games you can win in the NFL just by not turning the ball over.
Totally.
I mean, a lot of times you just make the other team make the mistake, and you end up. I mean, that's why the NFL is so maddening.
All right. So typically at this point we ask for a survivor pick, but I will be honest with you, I don't have mine yet. I don't know. I'm doing that today after the show. Do you have yours, Todd?
I'm either going to do Tampa Bay or the Rams.
Tampa Bay or the
Rams. Fezzik will kill me if I don't do Tampa Bay, but I'm you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Brady, you're not in Survivor.
I'm not, but I think I would go with the Rams.
You would go with the Rams.
I would go with the Rams.
And you would go with the Rams. I'll have to check the grid. Maybe I should plan it from the
Rams.
The Rams
spelled your demise last season. Will you go back to the well with
Week 15, Jared Goff at home against the Jets.
You're still going to make that play again, Gil. You're not going to not make that play.
No regrets.
Amal has the regret because he switched his play.
Right.
He went away from his chart and his rule. He never plays a road team. And he played the Steelers at that Bengals on that Monday night game.
He had
on his chart Tennessee against Detroit at home. They won by like 30 points that day.
He went against his grid.
He went against his grid because he wanted to save Tennessee for
later.
That's
brutal. I agree. He regrets. You have no regrets.
I have no regrets. No. I said that
first of all,
beginning.
You should have been out when the Raiders were playing a certain team.
Yes.
So you should have been out a million.
If there was a camera on me when that touchdown was scored, you would have seen a wild animal. I was going ballistic. Amal has that regret. The only thing that I have is lament. Because Professor Ed Myers, when there was about 87 or whatever many entries left, Professor Ed Myers did the power rankings of who had which teams left, and I was power ranked third. Ugh, brutal.
You know what's funny, too, last year, Gil? We just say week 17 is so hard, so unpredictable. Who's playing? Do they need to play for anything? And all 36 entries that entered week 17 all won last year, right? Nobody got eliminated on the last
week. Is that how many people won in the end?
36, I think.
Yeah.
And they got 68,000.
Remember the last day we were at Bar Canada? That was fun. Yeah. That was awesome, man.
Everybody's cheering. They all
had everybody come in. The sweat day or whatever we called it.
Day.
Yeah. All right. So teaser of the week. We want to do a six-point two-team teaser every week.
I have something to say about my teaser.
Oh, do you have something to say about that?
Yes, I do.
Can we start with someone else this time, maybe?
Sure, go ahead.
Mikey, how about you start with that?
How are you? I'm going to tease the San Francisco 49ers.
That's why I wanted to go first. Go ahead.
Well, you said no. Let someone else go first.
Go ahead.
I'm going to tease the San Francisco 49ers.
Todman, he goes first every time.
Down
to
one
to make up for last year and the year before. Exactly. I agree.
I'm going to tease them down to 1.5, and I'm going to tease the Rams down to 1.5.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Both.
I got no problem with either of those.
Why not bet on the NFC West, right? Best division in football.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that team.
Think about Robert Saleh, though, getting this job with the Jets and the division he falls into with those coaches. I think that's the best division of coaches of any division in football.
Belichick, Flores, and who am I missing?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Absolutely.
Oh, Saleh is.
Yeah, Saleh falls into that division.
Yeah.
Yeah. And McDermott? Belichick and Flores.
And McDermott.
Yeah. Tough. That's a tough division to start out in.
Todd, what would you like to say about yours?
Well, I was going to do the same teaser. I like the Niners because, first of all, it's Dan Campbell. That's number one. Number two, it's Jared Goff. They always kill Jared Goff. So, you know, give me the Niners minus the 1.5. And, I mean, if the Niners can't go on the road and beat the Lions, I mean, give me a break. And then I was going to do the Rams as well. I like the Rams. I mean, you get to go again. I was talking on a numbers game. You call them the beige rifle? What do you call them?
Yeah. The beige water pistol.
The beige water
pistol.
He
said the beige rifle. I think he downgraded the rifle.
The beige, I believe the beige water pistol against the Rams top defensive line is
beige.
Not a great matchup. Yeah. Because if I remember correctly, Andy Dalton is not the most fleet of foot.
That's correct.
I believe he goes back to pass.
He wasn't that bad at TCU. He moved around a little bit, but as the years have gone,
he ran a little bit with the Bengals too.
He ran.
As he's become more water pistol like, he's become more statuesque as well. And I think that the Rams will maybe have the 8th grade picnic back at the quarterback.
Gil, we want to encourage people to sign up for Circa Survivor, right?
Yes.
It's a huge overlay, and Mike really needs it to save his job. So,
oh, no. I was on the record early saying this was a fool's errand, guaranteeing $6
million. but that is the awesome contest name, Beige Water Pistol.
Who are you? Beige Water Pistol.
Beige Water Pistol out in front in Circa Survivor after 4 weeks.
What's yours, Brady? What's your favorite teaser?
I have the Washington football team, and I got them at +1, so I took it up to +7, and then I'm also on the 49ers down to 1.5. Washington, I don't think, is a bad bet. Now they've actually moved to a 1-point favorite in a lot of shops. You know, there's not a huge difference between a 1-point dog and a 1-point favorite, but there is a big difference from a teaser perspective. So I didn't get across the 7, but I've got it 2-7. And if you look at Justin Herbert's record against head coaches that were former defensive coordinators, he's like 0-4. And of course, Ron Rivera, a former defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers. So I think Washington's in a good spot here. Rivera knows how difficult his schedule is coming up. He's got to get this one in the win column. So I think Washington catching 7 is a good play there on the teaser. And then I also went with the Niners. If I had to bet this game from a side perspective, I would probably wait because it'll probably get to 8, maybe even 8.5, and I might take a shot with the Lions. But I like San Francisco at only -1.5.
You are a bold man. Chargers, by the way, +450 to win the AFC West. Did the Chiefs not? Did they leave the AFC West? +450 on the Chargers. 9.5 season win total. Yes, +105. No, -125. Yes, no to make the playoffs. Some people are teasing both sides of that same game. When that thing was toggling.
The Niners?
No, they're talking about Chargers in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Last night during primetime action, we saw it toggling back and forth. Their favorite. 10 minutes later, they were favorite. So some people are
plus
teasing.
+7 both ways.
Yeah.
Plus 7.5
Yeah, which I don't think people don't know you can do, but you can't.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, this should be a field goal game.
The issue here is that Austin Eckler mysteriously disappeared from practice yesterday. No one knows quite why.
Mm.
And I haven't heard anything this morning yet. And Curtis Samuel, who Washington fans were super excited because finally Terry McLaurin has somebody on the other end of the field that he can shine with. Curtis Samuel groin injury yesterday, and there's some buzz that he's going to be out for a long time.
Not good.
So that's not good.
No.
So just, you know, again, COVID we have to worry about. By the way, we never really fleshed out your vaccination thing, Mike, but I think that's a massive issue this year. It's why you have to wait to put in your survivor and your against the spread picks for millions till the very last moment, because you just don't know what's going to happen with this. You can't afford to have 48 hours where you're like, oh my God, I hope nobody tests positive.
Wait, but if you're vaccinated, you can test positive, can't you?
Yeah, yes, but if you're unvaccinated, you're gone for 10 days too.
Even if you test negative, you can't come back for a minimum of 10 days. You could if miss two games.
You mean if you're unvaccinated?
If you're unvaccinated and you test positive, out 10 games automatically.
And the other one?
10 days.
10 days. And the other one?
The other one, you just need two negative tests to come back. So you may not miss a game if you're vaccinated.
So think how, and again, no political statements. We're just talking about from a football handicapping standpoint. Think about that if you're Kirk Cousins' teammate, or if you're Lamar Jackson's teammate, or if you're Carson Wentz's teammate, like, you've got to be thinking to yourself, you're like, dude.
Well, Kirk Cousins, I saw him at Michigan State doing germology. He was like a PhD student there, if I remember correctly.
Germology.
So he probably did all the research about the vaccine.
He's still doing the research.
He knows about mRNA. I know he did the studies himself at Michigan State, didn't he?
I don't recall that.
No, he wasn't a PhD student.
I don't recall that.
You know, Lamar Jackson said in that press conference that caught my attention when he got it a second time about he's going to talk. It's a very personal decision.
Yeah.
He's going to talk to his teammates. Oh, by the way, the Ravens are the third most vaccinated team in the NFL, right? So as they've been very good about it. The player's perspective, and he's going to go out there and try to get some information.
Is he going to do the information on the pain pills they're going to give him as soon as he has like a problem? Because maybe you should do the research on that.
Only two fully vaccinated teams: Atlanta and Tampa Bay, I believe. Only two fully vaccinated teams. You have to wonder if Tom Brady had something to do with like you're getting vaccinated. You're going to listen to that dude.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Final two questions. Are we already there? Final two questions? I believe we have
wait,
to
what
be.
Was yes, your, no, I we don't... didn't get your teaser.
Oh. So you, I can't you... use Tampa Bay anymore, even though that is my most teased team of the week that I've actually put into my account. Listen, teasing them every which way.
We do things here based on what it is
that,
now.
I already stated that.
Thank you.
Correct. So as a result of that, the teams that I teased Tampa Bay with, namely Buffalo, the Rams, and the Niners, are the only candidates.
You're going against my Steelers.
I'm sorry?
You were thinking about Buffalo against
right,
my Steelers?
Right, but of those three remaining, Pittsburgh is the most threatening of the three opponents.
Don't do that.
And so it has to be San Francisco and the Rams. Sorry to do that. But if the Lions can beat, because essentially that's what it comes down to, right? If the Lions can beat San Francisco, or if the Bears can beat the Rams, what do you say? You're like, oh, okay.
I have a feeling that Dan Campbell guy is not going to be a good football coach. I just think I have no analytics to know, but I've seen this movie before.
Yes.
And guys who say, we're going to do what we do. We're going to eat, you know, we're going to eat chainsaws. And you know, this is not always the kind of guy who ends up being Bill Belichick.
It may not work out long term. But I have heard that the morale around the Lions camp is pretty high.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's an interesting...
Brady, as my mother used to say, morale schmorale kill.
this is an interesting...
Like I said, I don't know if it'll last. Yeah.
This is an interesting angle, and one of our hosts took extra time off this summer really to study prop market, and he came up with this bet. Dan Campbell to be the first coach fired at 29-1. Wow. And he made this argument to me, and I think it's a good argument. Not just based on the fact that they might be really bad and they might be 0-8 and he might get whacked, but how about the fact that who knows what this guy's going to say in a press conference
yeah.
in a political there age where you have to let people go if they say yeah. something like, I never even great thought point. About that. At 29-1, I think it's worth a flyer.
Yeah.
But, very good.
But
very
you
good.
Know, but, it is, though. So. It's a great angle.
But you know but you know what? Urban say? Meyer has already exhibited.
Yeah, well, he said he made the cuts based yeah. on the
He's already shown us that he says the wrong things in press conference. Yeah. So he would be the thing that I'd be worried about that, too.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
By the way, that has gone too far with that. I mean, the guy, the Notre Dame coach said his team should be exiting.
Oh,
he was
ridiculous.
Just kidding around people. Can we all just calm down and take a deep breath? But I know everybody's on a hair
comment.
Trigger.
For you know,
great comment. The next day, somebody on Twitter said, "Today everybody's looking up who John McVay is."
Yeah, but John McVay did it as a response to a question on Owen Stick. He's trying to force being funny at the end of it.
Yes.
And what's not funny is because the kid died on the tower. Filming the press.
Oh,
that's why people
that's
are so
true.
Sensitive
but he
to
didn't
that comment. I know that, but in the light of Brian Kelly's tenure at Notre Dame, they think about that when he says
that. I've got to tell you a good story about my dad who died 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, and we used to call it the Bob. He used to not like listening to the customer service people give him the runaround. So one time he asked the DSL people when he was trying to get it set up, where are you guys located? And he's like, oh, I can't tell you, sir. He goes, well, your building should be bombed. You know, because my dad would talk like that when he would get like real riled up. And the guy said, sir, I'm going to have to report you. So we used to do that all the time. So he has a bit of the Dan Campbell in him.
Yes.
My dad used to have it. So I just see that.
A tribute to Mr. Wishnev, everybody.
Yes.
But Dan Campbell and David Culley in Houston, because he had the famous press conference where he said, fourth down, I know analytics. We're just going to trust our gut on this
stuff. How did he say the word analytics? What was it?
Analytics.
Analytics.
Oh, analytics.
So you have monoliths, and then you have analytics. Yeah, analytics. I was like, wow, he really is into analytics. Okay, final two questions, the staple of every megapod. And thank you all for being on week one. Brady, thank you as always. Okay, the big favorite, most likely to lose outright, otherwise known as sort of a money line parlay killer. And we should mention with some of these teasers, by the way, check to see if a teaser is a more cost-effective way to do it or a money line parlay. Always check about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
what's
call
the big
there.
Favorite here?
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I was going to give the candidates. I wasn't going to include them.
Oh, you weren't going to?
Because if I gave 6 points or higher, then you could pick the Chiefs.
Oh, you were going to
But I mean, there's not that many big spreads, right?
Chiefs against the Browns is going to be too easy of an answer.
There's only about three games higher than six, isn't there?
Bucks, Lions, and
the Steelers
and Rams
are the only three.
I mean, I got three to choose from, Gil.
There's one more, right?
The Steelers are plus 6.5.
Bills are 6.5.
Yeah. Okay, so we start at 6.5, see?
Oh, my goodness.
So
I got
Tampa
cut
Bay,
off.
Tampa
I got cut
Bay.
Off.
Makes the Bills the obvious choice.
Tampa Bay.
I bet you this might close at 6.5. Might close at 5.5.
So Tampa Bay, Buffalo, San Francisco, and...
The Rams,
and that is all.
Well, if that's the case, then I would probably just have to say Buffalo. And that's... I'm getting ahead of myself. That was really kind of the answer for my next question. What game I want no part of. But, you know, the Steelers, as we've seen the last 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row, they start out hot and they fade late. So, and there's so much I don't know about this Steelers team. I think we know that their offensive line is shoddy, but is it improved? Is Najee Harris going to make a big difference? Big Ben at 39 years old, is he still got it or is he going to regress? The defense we expect is going to be good again in Pittsburgh. Buffalo, are they going to be another juggernaut or are they going to slide back a little bit? So I would say the Steelers are the best shot as far as a big underdog to win outright.
So Buffalo, the team most likely to lose outright, are the big favorites. Mike?
I agree with him.
Yeah.
My answer was Chiefs, and then I take Buffalo. This is a default position here because I cannot see the other teams I can't losing.
See. My San Francisco, not even a little bit on the road? Not even a little bit.
My Remember how they did this stores. 2 years ago, San Francisco, and propelled them? They played those two road games. They went and won at Tampa. They went and stayed in Cleveland, and then they went and beat Cincinnati, and that really propelled their Super Bowl season. Yep. They have a chance to do that again, too. Two road games against weak teams to start the season.
Good call.
They're like 1-0 against Jared Goff, too.
What's your most likely to lose outright?
I would go. I think my Pittsburgh stores are a little bit live. Look, if we can figure out how to protect Ben in that, we got a chance to throw the ball down the field with Chase Claypool in that. And let me tell you, Yens are going to have to understand. I'm down at Bet Rivers all the time, down at the casino. And, you know, I got the parking even on store game day. You know, it's like $60 to park at the casino on store game day now.
Yeah.
But if you got the right card, you can park there all you want. But anyways, I love my stores.
I'm on Buffalo, too. Given those choices, Buffalo. It won't always be the same pick on that question. But given those choices, for sure, heading into week one.
How do you think Najee Harris will do this year for
I like Najee Harris. If we can give him a little seam, he just needs a little seam in there. I think he can really do stuff. That guy looks real good. Now, I'm a little nervous. He might get beat up like old as Saquon Barkley, who's another guy we didn't like here down at Pittsburgh because he's Penn State. But anyways, I'm just telling you, Yens are going to have to – if we can block, we need to block for Ben Roethlisberger. If we can do that, we're going to be something.
What was Ben's last name?
Ben Roethlisberger.
That sounds very difficult.
It's not easy to say these things.
All right. And then the game you want no part of on the side. Brady, you already said Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
you want no part of.
Chiefs were my big, you know, team that I figured had the best chance to lose outright, and I want no part of the Steelers and the Bills. And, you know, basically I explained why. I think Steelers taking the points is very reasonable. I think the Bills are a team that we saw last year with Brian Daboll that really just steps on the neck and piles points on teams with that offensive, you know, performance that they put out in 2020. So I think they're a possible team that, you know, you lay the wood with too. But I can make cases either way for both of these sides. I want no part of that game.
I'll tell you who I want no part of.
I got about six of
them. Well, I want no part of any game any NFL. I'd like to watch in game.
I don't
want to
be
about
here.
5 minutes into the second quarter, I'll decide what I want to bet on.
It's such a quick reminder. We should all be betting tennis and golf. Like,
Or bet the damn games in game, folks. Yeah. You get so much information. Okay, here's what game I don't want pregame at all, and that's Carson Wentz against Seattle. Is Carson Wentz a good quarterback or a bad quarterback?
No,
I remember
knows.
When he was like an MVP or something and some other guy went to the Super Bowl and then he became a terrible quarterback. What is Carson Wentz? I don't know. And the other thing is Frank Reich's a great coach and then you got Russell Wilson on the other side. What? I have no idea what I'm going to see in this game.
Plus the line's flipped, you know?
It's impossible.
I agree with you.
I'm literally looking at more than five games I could answer this question. Mike, what did you decide on?
It comes down to me between Packers, Saints, and Jets, Panthers. And I'm going to take Jets, Panthers because I want to take a wait-and-see approach on Zach Wilson. I thought he looked good in preseason. I think he throws a really nice ball.
It's not football. Can I just say one thing? Enough with the preseason, and I'm not yelling at you per se because I like you, but these people who talk about preseason, it's not football! Nobody's playing football, but go on.
I think he throws a really nice ball, and I like to take a wait-and-see approach on him. I don't really want to touch this game. If you put a gun to my head, I would probably take the points here, even though Todd is on Matt Roulet.
Look, we've been Oppo before.
We have been.
Sometimes I've won, sometimes you've won.
Well,
I was right, though, about the fact that you said Kirk Cousins when we were filling in for Gil when he got injured.
That was the famous week where you don't want to live in a world of Philip Rivers as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that got me in trouble.
Remember that week.
Chas v'sholem, you should say something bad about Philip Rivers, a guy who only cost me $800 million inside the 5-yard line with 10 seconds to go. Phil, do something. Pass interference at the one again. Phil, you can't punch it in. Maybe could you sneak once, Phil?
Chas v'sholem. with your poor American Hebrew pronunciation. Chas v'chalila.
Chas v'sholem means God forbid.
Yeah, this show is for everybody, by the way.
This was a holiday for you this week, wasn't it? Monday was a holiday.
Well, for Jews it was. It was Rosh Hashanah for the Jews. I am a renounced Jew, so we do not celebrate that. We go on a numbers game on those 2 days.
Yes, we do.
It's a little bit of a different.
By the way, that week you were talking about with the Philip Rivers comment was also the week where Todd Wishnev did 30 minutes of solo numbers game.
Well, they threw me to the wolves. I didn't know I was going to. And then I said, thanks. Then
I had to leave at 8:30.
Yeah. Why did you have to leave? You're like,
it was raining. It's going to take me extra time to get down.
Mikey throws me to the wolves. I don't even know that I'm the soul guy.
Somebody's got to find that tape.
It launched your career on Visa.
Yes, and I have a big career. And I have a huge career.
You come to town and you get 10 minutes on the show.
I couldn't even make it on the nuts. Can you believe it? I didn't even get to be on the nuts.
I tried, Todd.
Hey,
I don't. Before we go, are we done now?
No, because I want to get mine. But
you have to narrow it down to 1 of 5.
Yeah, because I like your Jets, Carolina, Chargers, Washington. I have no idea. Seattle, Indianapolis. I have no idea. Minnesota, Cincinnati. I have no idea. Jacksonville, Houston. Even though some of you have conviction, I have no idea. And Arizona, Tennessee, which I know you guys really like. I don't know. All of those are candidates for me.
How about the Raiders? What are you going to get from the Raiders? Baltimore.
Yeah,
the Raiders,
I agree Baltimore. With that one, too.
I have no idea.
I'll tell you what you will get. Huh. It'll be 4th and 4 from about the 33-yard line. Somebody's going to kick a field goal. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Somebody's going to kick a field goal. I would actually go with, I think it's the Jets and Carolina of all of those, just because I have the least feel for either of those two, of that bunch. Anyway.
I want to ask you two about your thoughts on the Giants in the postseason. The San Francisco Giants. I know you're both
first
huge
team
fans.
To 90 games.
Yeah.
It worries me because that pitching staff is a little older. You know, they're not necessarily built like the Milwaukee Brewers are. We know the Dodgers are a juggernaut.
Gausman's BABIP has been incredibly lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. But this team, I mean, how about yesterday's win against the Rockies?
Incredible.
They just continue to find ways. I think the Chris Bryant addition is huge. There may be just a little more magic in the air like they've had in the past. If you look at it on paper, it scares me, but there's something about this team.
2010, 2012, 2014, and Brady can vouch for this. 2010, they probably had no business winning the World Series. They did. But 2012, 2014, dominant. And they have some of those same guys. Buster's still there. Crawford's still there. Brandon Belt is still there. They have the veterans. Sadly, Panda is not there with them. But what Brady just said, the word magic again, I always joke with anybody who bets against the Giants on my show. I always go, did you factor Giants magic into your model? And as the year has gone on, this team is way more magical than any of those World Series teams were. It's unbelievable. I in-gamed them yesterday in the 6th inning, plus 550, down a run, because you're like, they'll figure out a way. It just happens. And so I do think, to answer your question, I think the most obvious baseball bet is staring us right in the face and nobody's talking about it, which is the Giants to win the World Series at 11-1. We've got so locked into this thing that the Giants are not built for the postseason. They don't have the top-shelf starters that the Brewers do. They don't have the top-shelf starters that the Dodgers do. But we have seen now how it's not about your starters as much anymore as just having lots of really good pitchers.
Jake McGee.
Puzzling and putting them as a puzzle together. So will they win the World Series? Who knows? But at 11-1, give me that.
And they just took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers.
Well, that's the thing. They want to play the Dodgers. Dodgers never make up any ground against them head-to-head.
They've taken 7 of 10 since the All-Star break from the Dodgers.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Do you think they have to win the division? That they're too much in jeopardy in a wild card game because they don't have that one ace you can count on for that game?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do think they have to win the division. And picking up a game on Tuesday was a big deal. I have futures on both the Brewers and the Giants to win the National League pennant, so I hope they meet in the National League Championship Series.
Well, the wild card will play the winner of the West, right? So it's probably going to be 2 West teams in that divisional round because the wild card plays the best record, which is going to be in the West.
You could have the Dodgers play the Giants. Right, if the Dodgers win the wild card game,
they'll go and play at the Giants.
Right.
You know, in the American League right now, not to make it all about baseball, but since we have 5 more minutes here, the Yankees are in jeopardy here. And the Blue Jays,
red hot,
out of nowhere.
You can still get the Blue Jays at a great price to win the American League.
And you can also have Charlie Montoya as bullpen.
The bullpen has been good in New York here this series. This game where they rallied to beat the A's, they suddenly have this faith and they're all hitting the ball.
What have they won, 8 in a row?
No, they can hit. They can hit. But you're going to get real nervous late in the game. I can tell
I'm just saying, if they get in there, remember how that home crowd was in Toronto when during the Jose Bautista days?
I'm going to tell you, in the last 2 months, maybe even 3 months, the two best pitchers in baseball have been Scherzer and Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
No doubt. What
about Lance Lynn? I heard Lance Lynn's
got hurt. He got hurt. Okay.
So before we go, I'm sorry, because I got into it with E yesterday on this. So I believe that this is the most
news flash. Not you and E.
Not me and E. So newsflash. So I believe, and we talked about this briefly today, but I didn't get to the E point, that these markets, these baseball award markets this year, are more driven by these unbending narratives than ever before. So Fernando Tatis might win the NL MVP, and maybe he deserves it, but -300 and like Juan Soto's 80-1. What are we talking about?
That's cuckoo.
They can't hide him anywhere in the field. Right. Tatis, he's a butcher at right. He's a butcher at short. He's a butcher at second.
American League Rookie of the Year. Wander Franco is about to break. He's at 38 straight games getting on base safely. Under 20 players. The record is Frank Robinson, 43. He already passed Mickey Mantle. And yet he's the third shot. I get it because he hasn't played as much. It's Rookie of the Year. You don't have to counting stats. Like, how is he 4-1? And so the one that E and I got into was American League MVP. And yesterday E went crazy about Shohei Ohtani doesn't even deserve consideration.
Wait, Babe Ruth? How about Babe Ruth?
So I very quietly at first described it. I go, E, you're crazy. Like, you're dying on this hill. They're going to be a 50. He's going to be 50-25 homers and stolen bases. He's leading the league in home runs. He's got an ERA of, you know, he's a Cy Young candidate. What are you talking about?
He's Babe Ruth.
He's hiding and not batting against Snell and Darvish.
They used to say, who were the greatest sports players of all time? It was Michael Jordan and Babe Ruth. Yes. Babe Ruth.
Todd, I said to him, I go, E, not only does he have the MVP this year, he is vying for one of the greatest individual seasons in the history of the sport.
E's point is right, though, that Vlad would be an MVP in almost any other year, and he's not even really being talked
about. What's Vlad's record as a starter?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, Vlad never walked his way out of a game in the Yankee Stadium in the bottom of the first.
Jason is telling us we have to wrap up because I believe the Nuts is about to
happen. Oh, my God, the Nuts!
Probably not even on his way in yet.
The Nuts!
Todd Wishnell will be filling in for both Mike Palm and Amal.
Are you going to be on the A block?
If you'd like me to be on, I'll
I would like to have you on the A block.
That would be nuts.
Does that sound like an invite? I think it sounded like an invite.
Look at me.
Thank you for listening to the Megapod. Thank you, Brady. Thank you, Todd. And Mike, Todd, you're not going to be with us anymore.
I just want to say how delightful it was to get to hang out with Mike Palm in person.
Yes.
And bust his balls, and he gets to bust my balls. We used to have so much fun at the South Point watching the games. In fact, the first time I ever met Mike Palm, I was walking around South Point with one of those big sound boxes.
Wrap it up, Todd.
And his boys, like Paulie, were all making fun of me that I was like some loser walking around with the sound box. Yeah. Meanwhile, the sound box was the greatest thing ever designed, and Mikey started to come over. Yeah. Once I gave him some free popcorn, all of a sudden he's my best buddy. Ah. And then we bonded over the goal with 1/10.
The night we met was the two game seven.
We bonded over that.
There was a goal. Face off if there's no time.
There was a goal.
It was Toronto Maple Leafs against the Boston Bruins.
There was a goal with 0.1 seconds left, but it wasn't a goal. But it was a goal. They shook hands. There wasn't a goal. Some places had 4-1. Some places. Yeah. Me and Mike both lost.
All right, we gotta go.
Everybody that had Brady Cannon Megapod Week One guest cashes at -50,000.
-50,000. Thank you, Brady. Thank you guys. Thank you for listening to the Megapod. Good luck with all your bets. Week one in the NFL.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.